All right, good morning. Y'all doing all right? Good, man. It's so good to see you. So good to worship with you this Labor Day weekend. If you are a guest with us, as you've heard, we are so glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. I have met several first-time families and first-time individuals that are worshiping with us this morning, and we really do mean it, that you mean so much to us. We're so thankful that you are worshiping with us this morning. There is a QR code on the seat back in front of you. If you just scan that, on that there's like a connection card. If you'd fill that out, that helps me a lot. What it does is here in a couple of weeks, we're planning a brunch or a dessert for first-time guests and those who are checking out our church. And I want to invite you to that. I just need your information to make sure that you get invited to that. And I also want to tell you guests that this church, Valley Ridge Church, First Baptist Church of Louisville, is one of the friendliest, kindest, most welcoming churches that you've ever met. They're so compassionate. I know they're compassionate because nearly every one of them asked me how I was doing this morning. Every single one of them came up to me and put their arm around me, asked me if I was doing all right. Now, they all had a grin and an A&M shirt on, but they were definitely concerned for my well-being, you know, and so I appreciate that. And that's how I took that, and that's how I'm going to take that. One day a few years ago, my boys and I were out running errands. We were driving around. It was a beautiful, beautiful day in central Arkansas. All the windows were down. The sunroof was back. We were just enjoying ourselves. Pulled up to a stoplight, we stopped there, and off to the side, there was a horse trailer, and one of the horses had its head out of the trailer, just kind of checking out, seeing, I've never seen that before, it looked kind of like a dog, just kind of looking around. In fact, the angle of it, where my truck was, and this horse head, was just perfectly lined up with the back window of my truck there, and so we noticed it, but we just didn't pay any attention to it. And then all of a sudden, that horse let out a neigh. And I'm telling you, it is the loudest noise I have ever heard in my life. It was less like a neigh and more like a roar and a jet engine taking off. And all four of us gave up the ghost and tried to exit, stage left there. It was seriously, still to my heart races thinking about a horse neighing right now because it was so loud. But I got to tell you that even as loud as that was, it's not the loudest noise that I've ever heard in my life. In fact, the loudest noise that I hear in my life is my own inner voice. Because of the things that I say to me, the thoughts that I bring up have the ability to muffle out any other sound in my life, any other voice in my life. And very often, the things that I will say to me are not really all that encouraging. There's these horrible and dark and mean thoughts that I'll often repeat to myself. Things like, you're not loved, you're left alone, you're forgotten, God doesn't care anymore, you're nothing but your failures. These kind of thoughts, they well up loud in my own mind, and I'm sure in your mind as well. We have this tendency to be pretty mean to ourselves. That struggle is exactly what Psalm 42 and 43 are written for. The psalmist knows how loud and haunting his inner voice can be, and instead of just listening to himself, he does something that we all need to learn to do. He talks to himself. And I know that's a strange piece of advice, but it is true. The Psalms teach us that when despair preaches to your soul, you don't just sit and listen, you talk back with God's truth. That's what we're going to look at this morning, but before we do, let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning, and thank you for the cooler temperatures. God, we do thank you for those who are visiting with us for the first time, or maybe it's their second or third time they're hanging out with us, and they are on a path, on a journey. They're taking a walk looking for you and looking to come closer to you. So God, I pray that that we are faithful with that and we steward that. God, also thank you for those who are longtime faithful. They're here every week, they serve and they give, and they too are on that same journey. God, and finally, I want to thank you for those who are watching online from their Labor Day trips. I pray that you would keep them safe and bring them back to us. In all of this, God, I pray that our hearts and our minds are open to your word. that you would help us to silence that despair and depression and negativity that often screams so loudly between our ears. It's in Jesus' name that we all pray together. Amen. Psalm 42:5 will be our focal passage. It's going to be on the screens behind me. You may have that in your hands. If you have a CSB, you can look there. If you don't, you can look on the screens behind me. And what I thought we would do is we were going to read this together out loud. It's just one verse. We can do it. Here's what the Word of God says. Let's say it together. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. Who is he talking to? Who's he talking to in that passage? It's not God. This isn't a prayer. He's not talking to his enemies. He's not arguing or complaining with them. He's not speaking to creation in some sort of poetic psalm. We have some of those. This isn't one of those. No, he's talking to himself. Three times in these two psalms, verse 5, you can look there in the one that you have in your hands, in verse 5, in verse 11, and then in the next chapter, in verse 5, he says the exact same thing, this constant refrain. He turns inward, and he has a conversation with his own soul. He says, why do I feel like this? Why am I so dejected? Why do I feel so down? Why am I so, such a dark place, right? When I listen to what the psalm is saying, when I listen to the argument that's being made there, I hear three primary voices. Three voices are screaming out from Psalm 42 and 43. They are the voice of despair, the voice of memory, and then there's ultimately the voice of hope. I'd like to give an audience to all three of those voices this morning, beginning with the one that we've already touched on. That's the voice of despair. In 42:3, 9-10, and 43:2, my translation in our main refrain, 5:11 and 5, uses the word dejected. Other translations use cast down, downcast, or discouraged. Quite honestly, when I read these texts, it sounds like depression to me. When you look at what else is going on in the text, there's a lot of reasons to feel like this is somewhere between dejected and depression. In 42 verse 3, he says, my tears have been my food day and night. He's not eating, he's not drinking, he's not sleeping. In 42:9, he says, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about in sorrow and sadness? He feels abandoned even by God, which he brings up again in 43 verse 2, asking God why he rejected him. My God, why have you left me? In 42:10, he says, my adversaries, the ops, they taunt me. Where is your God? Outside voices mock him, which only amplifies the doubt that is screaming inside of him. And sometimes that's just the way that it goes. Sometimes the voice inside of us repeats back the mean things that others have said to us. Am I right? We hear ourselves saying the same thing that those who don't care for us say on the outside. So is this depression? Is it just a bad day? I honestly don't know. But in reality, it doesn't really matter exactly where you put it on that spectrum of sadness. What the writer is doing is honestly talking about the way that he feels when his soul is weighted down to slump under the pressure that is placed on his own soul. There are all kinds of circumstances that can make a person feel this way. We touched on some of them last week. There's relational stuff, marriages, dating relationships, that sort of stuff. Work-related things, coworkers, unreasonable expectations, that sort of stuff. Money problems that come out of nowhere tend to make us feel like failures or less than. And then there's health concerns in which our own bodies turn on us. Last week was all about the way that others on the outside can attack you and make you feel beat down. But today, this week, this text is a different nuance. It's about how our own soul starts to throw punches at ourselves. This is an internal. This is the call is coming from inside the house sort of situation. His feelings aren't truth, but they feel like truth. And when you're in those dark moments, small problems look like bigger. Shadows become darker, and it seems like the light has completely gone out. Have you ever been caught in a wave? Have you ever been in a moment in which you almost drowned, or maybe a child of yours almost drowned? Thank God that you're okay. But the thing about a wave, and the thing about those circumstances that makes it so scary, is it's not like getting punched by a man. That, you know, like you get punched and you're hit in one place, but a wave overwhelms every inch of you. From your head to your toe, it drains and drowns out your strength. Verse 7 says, deep calls to deep. Your breakers and your billows have swept over me. And that's what dejection feels like. It's not just one blow. It's wave after wave. And it completely zaps your strength in such a way that even your own soul is exhausted. And this isn't just the psalmist's reality. This isn't just something that you find in the Psalms. This is our reality. A recent CDC study said that 13% of Americans experienced depression symptoms in just the last 2 years. Nearly one in five adults wrestles with anxiety or depression every year. And almost 90% of them say that it affects their relationships, their family, and their work. Dejection isn't rare. It's everywhere. And that means that you're not alone. And neither was the psalmist. If you just read those statistics, or if you have just lived a minute and a half, then you know that nearly every person in this room has experienced some sort of dejection. Just that, you know, it's what the cartoons used to have with that little dark cloud that was hanging over the one character, right? And we've all felt that. It gets lodged in right here. Right in your stomach, right above your heart, in the back of your throat, right behind your eyes. My soul, why are you so dejected? That voice of despair is loud, or it can be, and even when it's not loud, it's stuck on repeat. But there are other voices, though, that can speak into those moments if we will let them, if we will amplify them. And I want to speak to first one, which is the voice of memory. Look at verse 42, 4 and 6. Twice the writer combats these feelings with memory. He says in verse 4, I remember this. And in verse 6, it says, I am deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you. This is a choice. It's an action. And it's a hard one. The voice of despair is stuck in the moment. It only knows and speaks about what is happening right then and right there. It only sees obstacles and failures that are laying at your feet. But the voice of memory speaks to what has been. And I know that some of you may object and think that my past hasn't been all that great. And I understand that. I have felt that myself. But at the same time, it hasn't been all that bad either. There have been moments, honestly, when we are honest with ourselves, there have been moments in which you knew that you were loved really deeply by another person. It may be a child, it could be a spouse, a parent, or a friend. Jesus loves you, and that's the truth. You knew that you were successful. You set goals and worked hard, and you accomplished that goal. Others were proud of you, and you were proud of yourself, and God is proud of you, and that's the truth. You were and are steady and stable. You made decisions that were wise with insight. Some of them were very small. Some of those decisions were consequential. The Spirit was guiding you, and that is the truth. You see, despair has this way of talking about the past like it didn't matter, or it wasn't all that we thought it was, but we have to answer back. We have to preach back. I was there, and I remember. We have to tell depression that that's not how that was. What he remembered specifically was God. I told you this last week that God is our greatest reality. And as such, he is well worth remembering. Not just remembering who God is, but what he said. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said he will be strong when we are weak. 2 Corinthians says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. He said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart's trust in him and I am helped. He said that he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your cares on him because he cares about you. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those that are crushed in spirit. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And here's the thing about it. He ain't never changing. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When despair preaches its lies, memory answers back with God's truth. I am not alone. I am not unloved. I am not powerless. I am not forgotten. Jackie and I have been watching this 8-part documentary on the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm not, I mean, I didn't mean for that to go with depression, but it kind of does. And I will bleed blue until I'm dead. And this is our year, every year. But anyways, we're watching this. And at one point, Jackie looked over at me and she goes, do you remember this stuff? Do you remember some of this stuff? And I said, well, some of it. But I said, but most of this, it's on the triplets and the Super Bowls. Okay, it's not really on the recent stuff. I said, but some of this, a lot of this happened when I was a kid. So it's like I have memories of these things, but they're patchy. They're missing parts of the story, which now I know. And that's exactly how despair talks about our past. It's patchy. It's skewed. It's incomplete. That's why we need the voice of memory to set it straight. We have to talk to our hearts and not just listen. We have to say, that's not true. I was there and I remember. The voice of memory is tricky though. It's there in our despair. It's just often misrepresented or we see it through a shadow or sadness. So we have to set things right. The other voice in the psalm that this psalm mentions is harder to hear because it's so very quiet. And that's the voice of hope. It's right there in the refrain. Remember where the refrain is? Verse 5, 11, and 5. It says it again. Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him. You got to say, hey, self, hope in God. Stop listening to those lies. That's not how it really happened. Not fully. Hope in God. This is where the strength of the passage really makes an impact, both in what is happening and what is being said. So what is happening in this text? What is the main thing that is happening in this text? He or she, the author of this psalm, is talking to themselves. That's what's happening in this text. You ever talk to yourself? Come on, anybody in here ever talk to yourself? You ever talk? Yeah, everybody talks to themselves. How many of you have full-blown conversations with you? I went online to look up some of this stuff. I was going to find some psychological help for us. But I was online, so it's unfruitful. I did see a post, though, a Reddit thread on this very topic. Someone was asking, is it normal to talk to myself? Is it normal? One of the comments said, talking to yourself is normal. Answering yourself is normal. It's when you start telling yourself jokes that you've never heard of before that you have to start worrying. I don't know what they're talking about. I'm the funniest person I know. The truth is, talking to yourself is normal. Nothing strange about that. The problem is that we don't do it the right way often enough. I want to slow down and think about this for a second because when I was studying this text, what really came out of it for me was we have a resource that we all use. We just use it in the wrong way. The problem is, I'm going to say it again. The problem is we don't do it in the right way often enough. Sure, we replay conversations in our head all the time, right? We are always so much smarter after the argument, right? We also run through scenarios to try to solve problems, but that's not what's happening in this text. The psalmist's heart was telling him lies, and he answered back with truth. Martin Lloyd-Jones, if you don't know that name, write it down and then read everything that he ever wrote. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, the problem with most of us is we let ourselves talk to us instead of talking to ourselves. The psalmist does the opposite. He takes himself in hand and he says, hope in God. That's not denial. That's preaching truth to your soul until your feelings catch up. When self says, you're worthless, you should say, that's not true. When self whispers that no one cares, you should respond, that's not true. When yourself says you don't have anything to offer, you should argue back. What? That's not true. Don't just listen to yourself. Talk back. Tell that Eeyore self of yours to shut its mouth. He does that and he allows the voice of hope to speak up, to take the conversation and declare a better future, one consistent with reality. Hope in the Bible isn't wishful thinking. It's not like saying, man, I hope it doesn't rain when you're looking at a forecast calling for showers. It's confident expectation that is grounded in God's unchanging character. The Hebrew word yahal means to wait, to expect, to trust. The psalmist is literally telling his soul, wait on God. Expect him to come through because he has always come through. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, and not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions because we know that our afflictions produce endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Some of those afflictions are afflictions of the soul. What we know from God is that when it all works out, that's moments that seem so hopeless never were. Everything's not okay, but it will be. We see examples of hope all the time in our lives. When a couple is expectant for the first time, when they're pregnant, they start to do all kinds of hopeful actions. They set up the nursery. They pick out a name. The grandparents start to pick out goofy names by which they will be called, you know? These are all actions that are made in hope. It hasn't yet happened, but they act confidently that it still will. And as you know, hope is only as good as the object that you place it in. In this case, it's God. He is unchanging. He is forever faithful. Verse 8 says, the Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me at night. A prayer to the God of my life. That faithful love is what I showed you last week. That's what we talked about last week. That never changing, never stopping, never ceasing loyal commitment. Something you can hope on because it's solid, because it's a lock. Just like we see examples of hope in our everyday lives, we also see examples of hope that are misplaced, put into something that is not solid. Every parent that puts something at the foot of the stairs thinking their child's going to pick it up the next time that they walk through to go upstairs has misplaced hope. Every time you write your last name on their jacket tag, thinking this will somehow bring it back and I won't have to buy one in the middle of the winter, you have misplaced hope. Hope is only as good as the object in which you place it in. Some of you might be thinking, this whole thing sounds like denial. You're just thinking happy thoughts. I'm not denying anything, and neither is the psalmist. You read the whole thing on your own time later. Read that thing. He's not denying anything. He wrote it all down. He said, these are the things that I'm dealing with. If it's denying anything, it's denying the lies that we tell ourselves. Some of you might respond that this sounds too easy. It's just that easy. Nobody said it's easy. In fact, this is hard. You are the hardest person you will ever argue with. It's not easy, but it is fruitful. And others might say, this is dishonest to tell yourselves to feel hope when you feel hopeless. And what I would respond to that is that hope is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's making a decision to anchor yourself into something that is solid instead of the whirlwind of waves and doubts that are happening within your own mind and heart and soul. Hope is a decision. David repeatedly said in the refrain, where's the refrain at? 5, 11, and 5. He repeatedly said that God is his Savior and his God. We encourage people all the time, and I'm going to encourage you right now, to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. That's what the psalmist is saying in this very same text. To be saved. But often we tend to think of being saved as being saved from future bad decisions and the consequences of the decisions that we have made in the past. And while that is still true to some extent, it is also true that when God saves us, he saves us from despair. God rescues us from discouragement as well. He gives us that ultimate hope that connects us to the cross, where we die to ourselves and live in him. This doesn't mean that Jesus' followers never feel despair. It doesn't mean that we don't go through hard things. It just means that when we do, there's a light at the end of our tunnel and a wind at our back. But honestly, that is only found in Jesus. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, that is when, and that is only when you have the hope to make it through the darkness that we often encounter in our own souls and minds and lives. Besides the obvious application here, which is, don't just listen to your heart, speak back with God's truth. I want to encourage you to amplify those truths in your mind and your heart, to amplify the voice of memory, to amplify the voice of hope in your hearts. And you can do that in a number of ways. The first way is good friends who are walking with Jesus can help you amplify God's truth in your life. If you're young, you need to know this. If you're old, you should have known this. You are the collective sum of your friends. You are. Make good friends. Run with good folks. That's one of the reasons we have small groups. Students and children's ministry, choir, and rally on Sunday nights. Those aren't just activities. We're not trying to put another thing on your already busy schedule. We're trying to give you opportunities to surround yourself with people who will turn up the volume of God's word when your own internal voice gets dark. That's one way, good friends. Another good way is to regularly read your Bible and to pray. That will amplify God's truth. That's why we put out things like the new discipleship guides that are in the lobby. You can grab one of those and read them throughout the week, and that's going to help to amplify God's truths in your heart and in your mind. And finally, the media that you consume matters. What you watch, what you listen to, what you scroll through, it's either amplifying God's truth or it's drowning it out. You will know this by the fruit in your own lives. If you find yourselves constantly more anxious and stressed and worried, the volume is too high on the wrong channel. But if you see more love and more patience and more joy, then God's truth is being amplified in you. I've got a small little audio clip I want you guys to listen to. Enjoy this.
We've got a lot
of real good music and a lot of requests to answer, so it's Let's Talk and more music as the King of Swing, Benny Goodman, leads off with Jules Allred. That is G.I. Jill. She's on a radio program called G.I. Jive. Her actual name is Martha Wilkerson, and that show first aired on what's called the Armed Forces Network. It was a radio program that was created for soldiers that were serving in World War II around the world. After months of negotiating with the British Broadcasting Channel, on July 4th at 5:45 p.m., the AFN went live with the Star Spangled Banner. Eventually, that broadcast would include news, comedy skits, and the biggest names in American music. The whole point, General Eisenhower hoped, was to bring some sort of uplifted morale to the loneliness of those surrounded by war and darkness and death and despair. The signal wasn't perfect, like you heard. It was full of static, fading in and out, but they tuned in anyway. And what came through was enough to lift their hearts, enough to remind them of home, enough to give them hope in the middle of hopelessness. And that's what Psalm 42 and 43 is showing us. The noise of despair is real, but the voice of hope is still broadcasting. You just got to tune into it. To say to your soul, why are you so dejected? Put your hope in God. Praise Him, the Savior, and your God. And for us, the voice of hope isn't just jazzy songs from home. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even if it sounds faint, even if despair seems louder, His voice is stronger. So when the noise rises up around you, don't just sit and listen. Tune in, talk back, and let hope in Christ be the loudest sound your soul hears. Let's pray together. God, thank you for all the ways that you have blessed us. Thank you for this strange ability to imagine and to speak to ourselves. God, I pray that we would turn a corner, that we would tune in, that those of us who struggle with depression and despair quite regularly would grow stronger against it. For those whom it's much more intermittent, more seasonal, more irregular, I pray that they would be equipped to deal with it the next time that it comes. God, we recognize that our country, our world turns to all sorts of things to try to numb that pain, that loud noise in between our ears. We turn to drugs. We turn to gambling. We turn to politics. We turn to raging online. But God, I pray that we would amplify that still small voice. We would say, you are loved. You are accepted. You are part. You have a purpose. You have a plan. It's all going to work out. So God, encourage the downtrodden hearts today. Give them light and hope and healing. It's in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. Y'all stand with us, and we'll give you a moment to respond. However God has laid on your heart, you respond. We'll have ministers down here, people. Maybe you're just sad. You don't know what to say. You just want somebody to pray over you. Just come down and tell them your name, and they'll say a prayer for you. You move now as the music plays.